Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the RIP Tour Podcast. I am your tour guide, Ash. Feels like I'm stuck hosting, you know. A lot of times recently, I'm going to have to delegate it. Good leaders delegate, so I'm going to have to pass this on, the baton on maybe next week to somebody else. If you are listening, we are on YouTube as well, but if you are listening and not on YouTube, I'm going to pass it around, see who else is with me. We're only missing one person today. Tim could not be with us. I think he's working today. So shout out to Tim. If you're listening, you better be listening. But first up, Gary, what's going on, bud?
You definitely hit the nail on the head about leaders delegating, hence why I'm not hosting. but I am good. Thanks for asking.
Good, good. Jason.
Doing well, Ash. You know, I'm voting right now that, you know, Ash moving forward should lead every show.
I don't know if that's going to be a good idea. We'll see.
I mean, Liz still hasn't hosted yet.
That's true.
Just saying.
You know, I always love a good segue. Liz, how you doing?
Good morning, Ash.
You staying?
I did host once, by the way.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. That Christmas episode where we roasted Gary and Tim. Sure did.
Okay, so Liz can go off hosting duties for a week. Jason, you're probably up next,
exactly.
I think.
Exactly.
To take the reins.
It's not going to end well.
Cool. So yeah, like I said, Tim's not with us. We got four of us today. Now, we're going to go over something we've sort of had in the pipeline for a little bit. We wanted to talk about things at Horror Nights that were maybe concrete, maybe more rumors that were coming to the event that people were talking about in the community and leaks and things of that nature. So we want to talk about things that were coming, but they never happened for one reason or the other. So we're going to go take a little stroll down memory lane. We like our history on this channel. So we're going to go all the way back to Halloween Horror Nights 11. We're going to start there and just go over things. Probably more popular things. There are more niche things out there that we're not really going to touch on just because they're more rumors as opposed to more concrete sort of things. But yeah, Liz, you want to take it away?
Yeah, so I'm sure there's even more rumors out there that we're not going to discuss today, but we've kind of chosen the ones that we think made the biggest deal in the community, the biggest splash. So we're starting with Halloween Horror Nights 11, which happened to be my first year ever of Halloween Horror Nights, with the replacement of Eddie as the Icon into Jack as the Icon. And I think most of us know by now this was 2001. So 9/11 happened in America and it changed the event because, you know, that was September 11th. So the event was just a few weeks away at the time. And they had to make some changes and decide what they were going to do in order to keep the event going. So the first change was moving away from Eddie back to Jack, who had been the Icon the year before, someone that people were familiar with. And they moved away from a lot of the gore. So instead of having so much blood at the event, they went for this green ooze as a replacement. And I think, Ash, you know, even some more of the other changes that happened that year.
Yeah, so Big one, really. And I just double checked the date of Halloween Horror Nights 11. It was October 5th, right? So they had less than a month. Just think these mazes were probably up and ready by then. So they only had a month to make these changes. That was the more technical aspect. The other thing that happened was the names of the mazes were changed as well. So we had some original titles, like we had Bloodbath Underground. We know now that as the Ooze Zone, right? We have something that was called Terrorland, okay, that changed over to Scary Tales. We had Nightmare Alley, that was originally called Slasher Alley. And then the Festival of the Dead Parade that year actually changed to Nightmares on Parade. And of course, the Icon House Run was supposed to be Eddie's big coming out party. That was changed, of course, to the Green Ooze. That was supposed to be the Guts and Gore House of the year with Eddie in there. Again, they brought all that back. Yeah, so that's pretty much the changes there. Now, one massive, massive change, which was a go, it was ready to go, was the opening ceremony. You can see pictures of this and a full script, like a legit full script of what it was. And it was Eddie and his goons on stage. They were sort of sacrificing Jack. on stage, and then obviously once he was sacrificed, Eddie then took over Halloween Horror Nights 11, and he had chainsaws kind of moving into the audience as this was going on. So definitely check that out, Halloween Horror Nights 11 opening ceremony, because this was obviously supposed to happen. So they're the biggest changes.
Yeah, and I remember the event. The event was still scary, even back then. They had the chainsaws out. There were the chainsaw drill team was roaming around. So there were still plenty of scares when you got in the park. But I think they just wanted to be cognizant of the trauma that everyone had gone through and just kind of tame the event a little bit as far as marketing. So that's what we saw for Halloween Horror Nights 11. And then just the next year, we had yet another icon change. So originally, Cindy was going to be the icon for Halloween Horror Nights 12, and she was replaced by the caretaker. So I know that there was a little bit of a situation, I think local to Orlando, where there was a child abduction, and they decided not to focus on having a child as the icon for that year, and we got the caretaker instead, which was a great backstory, and obviously he's tied to Cindy, and we've learned a lot about Cindy ever since. But it's a little disappointing that Cindy is never, neither of these icons have ever had their time in the spotlight. So Gary, what do you think about these two icons that have just never had their chance? They've been around, but they've never had their year.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because they both talked about, you know, a lot in over the years that, you know, they've made appearances at the same time as not making appearances. But I think the hardcore fans and the people who, like us, like to dive into backstories and dissect stuff really want this to happen. It's just unfortunate that those years, you know, things happened in the real world. And it does really make you wonder how these changes could have shaped Horror Nights. We might not have seen other icons appear or had certain years. We might not have seen certain houses. We could have seen stories be changed. So everything happens for a reason. But again, it's always that unknown of what could have been, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Ash, did you have any other insight as far as Cindy from 2002?
Nothing really for Cindy. Of course, for anybody who doesn't know Islands of Fear, 2002 was the first year over at Islands of Adventure. So the premise was Cindy had her own little island, because that's what they are, they're all islands, and that was going to be her playthings. Cindy did still stand at the test of time like Eddie did, but not in their own sort of icon year. Nothing really to add extra in terms of changes for that year, but like I said, like you said, Liz, we got the caretaker out of it, so he kind of worked in that scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jason, do you think that in the future we could ever see Eddie or Cindy finally get a year?
I would hope so. I mean, if we all remember from HHN 30, we had a little bit of sliver of Cindy in one house. Name of the house is Welcome to Scary.
Welcome to Scary.
Which I absolutely loved. But having her in that house, which was a nice little Easter egg for us all to see, and Gary's tribute message from Jack and Eddie, seeing there, you could see all the fans loving, you know, Eddie. And I think we're due to have an Eddie year and a Cindy year. So I hope it comes soon.
Yeah, just a quick one as well. I want to go off what Gary said a minute ago about if these things would have happened, how it would have shaped or changed Horror Night. So in the opening ceremony I talked about, where Eddie's sort of killing Jack or sacrificing Jack, whatever it may be, as Jack was being sacrificed, he said, "I'll be back," right? Now, Eddie was pulled. Jack was then replaced. Jack replaced Eddie, right? And one of his like phrases for that year was, "No more clowning around," right? So I wonder if Eddie would have gone that year, nothing would have happened, Eddie would have gone, were they going to go back with Jack for 12? And have Jack come back because the phrase was no more clowning around, like he's taking it back from Eddie? What do you think?
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And then, like you said, then I wonder if we don't get some of these other icons that we had because they just kind of go back to Jack and have that be his year. And we just end up going back and forth between Jack and Eddie and their story. Kind of now where we're with Dr. Oddfellow definitely raises a question of whether or not we would have seen the caretaker, the storyteller, the usher, the director, you know, all these other characters that we got after that.
Yeah. Yes, I always thought, like I said, out of a terrible thing, you know, a good thing came out of it for Horror Night, especially with the caretaker. But yeah, that was from 11, 12. Now for 13, this was more of an urban legend, right, for the most part in the community. This has been verified by bigwigs, for lack of a better term, people in the know. There was layouts of how it was going to go down. There's scripts and everything. There's multiple websites. Halloween Horror Nights 13, the director's year, the second year over Islands of Adventure, we were going to have an extreme house, okay, called Severe Fear. You had to be 18 or over, and you had to sign a waiver to participate. I don't know if it was an upcharge house. Maybe it was. I'm not 100% sure. It could have been an upcharge, but you had to be above 18. You had to sign a waiver. So I'm going to kind of walk us through it, and I'm going to see if any of our tour guides would have been brave enough to maybe go in there. But also as well, the Horror Nights 13 park event guide or map, whatever you want to call it, does have the Carnage Warehouse where this was supposed to be. And they used the Carnage Warehouse the prior year. It was built for the prior year, and it was built for HHN. They had it on the map again, but it wasn't used. Why? Because it was supposed to be this, but they pulled it. Okay, so Severe Fear. I'm just going to take a little walk through it. So the facade entrance, there were 8 curtain doorways with multiple church pews. Shout out to Blood Moon. Each person is then blindfolded and was given like a hooded type cloak. And you're sat in one of the pews, okay? If you're in a group, you will be separated, all right? You are then led in front of one of the curtain doorways. Suddenly, a scare actor grabs you and pulls you through the curtain. The waiver that you were signing did say you are allowed to be touched. Not harmed, but touched, okay? And it was split into 6 specific scenes. All right, the first one, you're thrown into an open coffin and the lid is slammed shut on you and they pull your blindfold off. You can hear the sound of rats inside the coffin, and then you can see through the coffin, and like a monster tries to grab your face. Then the back of the coffin drops. Okay, so the coffin drops and you fall down, not onto spikes, I assume, but probably a mat. When you land there, your next scene, you crawl through a chain link fence, so like a tunnel. There are small openings on sides and for the top for the scare actors to grab down at you. If you took too long to go through, they had access to jump on top of the cage and the tunnel chasing after you. You then crawled out into a hallway. Scene 3, you find yourself in a corridor of doors. You're not the only one because 7 other guests are going through the coffin and you all come out at the same place. The doors across from you are chained and locked, but suddenly the lights begin to go out one by one. Okay, the doors, and then a big military guy comes out with a chainsaw and he chases you out of the corridor into the next scene. Scene 4. Obviously you've got the chainsaw wielding drill sergeant. You get onto a bus with like dead bodies, charred remains on there, and then you're trapped on there, and they have the effect of fire, which they did again down the line in Orphanage, ashes to ashes, but the bus would fill with smoke and the doors would open up. Scene 5, cellar style doors. You go through them and down the stairs. You find yourself in a damp, wet basement with water dripping and you hear sort of electrical surges. The blindfolded again, and you hood a cloaker on again, and you're led to the final scene. Almost there, guys. Final scene. You're trapped in an electric chair. Once you're strapped in, you feel minor electric shocks that like you would do in the T2 Battle Across Time theater. You're then put into a wheelchair and wheeled into the recovery waiting room. People would meet you if they were waiting for you. There was also a code name. If you were chicken enough, it was I'm a Fluffy Bunny. If you said that, it was a code word that you didn't want to partake anymore. But this was good. This was given the all clear, ready to go, but it was scrapped last minute. And then many of these props again were used for future scare zones. Think of the school bus, right? I think Ghost Town in 2004, some of these were used as well. So severe fear signing a wave to go in there. I'm going to go the opposite way. Jason, would you have gone in here? Would you like to have done that? Talk to me about this.
Where do I sign? You know, this sounds definitely right up my alley. I'll be honest. If there was a situation where you had to eat something in said house, I would have been saying, I'm a fluffy bunny, I'm out. But according to your description, there was not that. So I would have been all over this. I've just been like, I'm participating in Legends of the Hidden Temple right now, and I'm going through the house. So yeah, definitely sign me up. 110% I'd go.
Okay, Gary, I know it was, I wanted to kind of get we'll go with more detail when we get to Halloween Horror Nights 13. That was more of a truncated sort of description. But yeah, severe fear, is that something you would have partook in?
Nah, I love horror. I love being scared. Do I like being tortured? Maybe not. It's just, reading this just reminds me of the plot of that movie Haunt. Where they go to that haunted house and it ends up being totally real. So I think that's where I draw the line. Not to the point where I would be too scared to do it, but it's just not something I think I would enjoy doing. You remember, Ash, growing up in England, when you used to go to those, like the beach towns where they would have that electric chair seat where you used to have to keep your hands on as long as you could? That's just not my idea of fun, to be honest. So I think I would start with being a fluffy bunny and just, I would just hold the bags for everyone.
You're holding everyone's bags. Okay, so yeah. I like that. I'm a fluffy bunny to start with. I'm not going in. Okay, so we've got one in, one out. Liz, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm a fluffy bunny. This is a no from me. It does remind me of, I think it was 2016, 2014, maybe 2014, when they did the Legendary Truth test experience where you had to go through all the riddles to get a pass, and they took you in an area and it was this walkthrough experience, and it kind of had this feel to it. And I went in there not knowing what was going to happen, and the entire time I was expecting this to happen because they didn't give us any, we didn't have to sign a waiver or anything, so I should have known we would have been fine. But I kept expecting to be grabbed by a scare actor or some one of these things to happen, and I was terrified even during that, where nothing really happened. It was really just a test. So no, I would be a fluffy bunny. I wouldn't be going in. I'd be hanging with Gary with the bags. Yeah. So all right, Ash, your turn. So, you doing it?
Okay, you know why I would do it? I think you make a great point, Liz, when you said you did that testing thing for Legendary Truth. It's everybody's primal fear, is fear of the unknown, right? You don't know what's coming. So that is a real fear. And I think a lot of people either have that fear or some part of it, right? You know, scared of the dark, scared of the unknown, whatever it may be. I would have to do this. I'm a completionist, right? So I have to do everything. Gary, I'm so surprised that you would opt out of this one, because if it's at Horror Nights and it's a thing you can do, I'd just have to do it.
You got to platinum it.
Yeah, it's an inside joke. You won't get that, people. But yeah, I would have to platinum Halloween Horror Nights 13. And same with the repository. I just had to do it. I know that was a $50 upcharge, but I platinumed it. So I was good with that. So two in, two out. I'm not saying I wouldn't say I'm a fluffy bunny halfway through, but yeah, the coffin, closing the coffin on me, that wouldn't be great. And then falling out from the back of it. Nope, that's not for me.
Yeah, the coffin. I think I would be
the coffin. I'd
be coming out jumping for joy, and everyone's gonna be looking for Ash, and he'll be in the emergency exit somewhere halfway through the house, screaming.
Yeah. Okay, well that's not good. Two in, two out. Tim, you'll have to tell us if you're a fluffy bunny or you would have done severe fear. You can break the tie, but yeah, that was Halloween Horror Nights 13: Severe Fear.
Yeah. So then we're moving on. We're jumping quite a bit ahead to Halloween Horror Nights 22, which was 2012. I can't believe that was already so far away at this point. But this one had a couple different rumors, and it was a very chaotic year as far as Halloween Horror Nights. I feel bad for everyone who was planning the event, because it just felt like there were so many moving pieces and things with their plans just not working out. So first of all, we had a rumor circulating that we might get a two-park event again. So we had the two-park event in 2004, and this was Halloween Horror Nights 22 happening in 2012. There's a lot of twos there. So there were some solid rumors circulating that we were going to have a two-park event. And part of that was because we needed house locations, because in 2012, as we all know, sadly, Jaws had closed. And so, aw, we had lost a house location. So for years, they'd used the Jaws queue as a house location. And for at least probably 5 years, they'd been using the parade building as a house location. But now we had the brand new Superstar Parade, which meant we lost technically two house locations. So in order to add more locations to keep eight houses, they considered doing a two-park event. Now, we don't know why that didn't move forward, but for whatever reason, they decided to switch back to just a one-park event and go down to seven houses, which is strange to go backwards, but that was the plan. So without the parade building or the Jaws queue, they decided to use the Herc and Xena soundstage, which I think, Ash, you know what number that soundstage was. 54.
It's 54, right?
54.
Yeah, 54.
So they were going to have, at least the rumors say, a Mayan-themed house because, of course, 2012, that's when the end of the Mayan calendar was. So there was this whole thing with the apocalypse coming. The Mayan calendar had been correct up until that point. And so they were going to base a house on this urban legend with the Mayans and maybe other stories from that area. But then Comcast bought Universal and greenlit the addition of Transformers into Universal, and they wanted it immediately, which meant even though the house was supposedly already under construction, it was time to tear down that soundstage. So instead of going down to six houses, Universal had to scramble. They found a way to move parade floats out of the parade building. At the last second, they added House of Horrors into the parade building. So that's the legend of 2012. And I was moving back to Orlando during this time, and I remember everyone was just up in arms, like, could not believe this was happening. We heard the soundstage was getting torn down, and the community just couldn't believe it. In fact, I didn't believe it until I went to the park with my own eyes and saw the giant hole in the soundstage, because I was like, there's no way they're doing this, but they did. So I think, Ash, I know you were there in 2012. Jason, did you happen to go this year?
I did not. That was okay. Still kind of a little pricey to make the cross trek from California to Florida back and forth, but I did follow religiously on YouTube to see everything, all the drama.
All right, Ash, so House of Horrors, a last minute replacement. What did you think of that house?
I can still smell the paint right now. So obviously when you've been going a long time, a lot of the years and the maze kind of, you know, they kind of bleed into each other, right? 22 is a big one for me that I can remember because we always used to come for 2-3 weeks in October, every single year since 95, right? We've done it every year. 2012, we had a wedding. We have a wedding that we went out of town for because my grandparents were friends with people who lived here. So I only had two nights at Horror Nights. First night I ever bought Express. Okay, so I remember that well, but I've got a couple of things here, right? I like to think myself, I'm a self-diagnosed super fan, right? I never knew 2012 was going to be two-park event. I never even knew that was a rumor.
Yeah.
So firstly, that blows my mind. I did read as well as part of this mine, because this was a go and it got obviously demolished. A part of that was Chupacabra. I think it was going to be Urban Legends Incorporated with the Mayan theme as well. So Chupacabra, which is pretty cool because that kind of came full circle again. We got a Chupacabra house at least, not really Mayan, but that kind of came back to us. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't a massive fan. I know you liked House of Horrors, but I wasn't a massive fan, to be honest. But yeah, and then obviously, big shout out to Joe's. Last base. So Stores and Steam then would have been the last Amazing Joe's, sad, but yeah, not really too many thoughts.
Why do you
to be
keep
honest,
bringing just, that up, man. That's gonna make me emotional. Sad.
I know, it's so sad, but it is what it is.
I think for how quickly it was thrown together, because they started tearing down the soundstage, I believe it was May or June of 2012. So they were already pretty far into the process when that information came down the pipeline. and they had to really scramble in order to clear out the parade building, get that all prepped, if, you know, if all the legends are true from that year. So to be able to throw together House of Horrors and have it be, I mean, if you went in there before your eyes adjusted, it was terrifying because it was very, very dark. So I had a great experience going through that house, and to see the classic monsters return, I think it was a great replacement.
Yeah. Before you pass it around to the other guys too. I didn't, like I said, it followed, what was the last maze there was the Forsaken, which is one of my favorites. So that's why probably it's a little bit lower as well. Also, you mentioned Comcast. Big shout out to Comcast. I know a lot of people don't like Comcast for whatever reason, but they get things done. You know what I mean? They give you a deadline and they stick to it. And it's probably the best thing that's happened to Universal, to be honest, in the last 10 years. They build a profit every single year. So completely off track. I apologize, but shout out to Comcast.
So, Gary, I know this is before your time, but can you just put yourself in the shoes of a fan, knowing you're getting rumors and kind of just hearing all of this falling apart behind the scenes? How do you think you would have reacted that summer as a fan?
Oh, I sort of know how you feel, because I booked my first vacation and Jaws was at the top of my list.
Oh, no.
And by the time I arrived, the ride was closed. So I have never got to ride Jaws. So similar, not similar. But obviously, knowing how big of a Horror Nights fan I am, to when a rumor gets some weight behind it, you start to believe it even before it's announced. And then when it falls apart, you know, there's one that we're going to get to near the end of the show currently this year that everyone's upset about. But yeah, I would have been devastated, to be honest.
Yeah, well, that ends 2012, and I think we're going to move on to another rumor from the following year.
Same year, 2012. I'm right. Okay, an American Werewolf in London. A little bit of a strange one, because we've had it twice, right? We've had it twice in Orlando. Jason, I think once in Hollywood.
Twice in Hollywood,
well,
too.
I think it was twice in Hollywood too. There we go. So this is going to be a bit of a strange one we're going to cover because An American Werewolf in London was supposed to make its debut in 2012, but it was replaced by Welcome to Silent Hill. So this was huge for the art and design creative department. They wanted An American Werewolf in London for years. Okay, they always wanted it. I don't know what was going on with the you know, getting the rights for it or securing it, whatever it may be, right? But I know it was a labor of love for them to get it to the park. It was replaced by Silent Hill pretty late. Silent Hill was a late one, because if you haven't done Silent Hill, you can watch a walkthrough. Same layout as An American Werewolf in London. Yeah, Silent Hill, I did it twice. Never saw Pyramid Head once. So did I actually do it? So but yeah, and it finally came to the event the year after, 2013. And the code name for it, you know how they used to have code, well, they still do, but code names for them, it was Trinity, because it was the third time that it came to the event. The other two times they had to remove it. So finally it came. So this one was called Trinity. And of course it came back again 2 years later in 2015 to mark the second time the Maze has been to the Orlando event in only 3 years. So go the opposite way. Jason, obviously we know we've had it twice since then, but if you are somebody, because this is one of my favorite movies, so American Werewolf London's coming, but now you're getting Silent Hill, what's going through your brain?
Unknown. I'd be really disappointed, because I grew up watching American Werewolf in London with my dad, and seeing that happen, but also a little bit of excitement, because I'm a big Silent Hill fan as well, where they're going with. So I'd say neutral. We're going to go with the neutral version of a neutral party on it. I'd be disappointed at first, but then I'd get kind of pumped up to see Silent Hill and what Horror Nights and the Universal creative team was going to bring to the table for us all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. I'm a big Silent Hill fan too. So, you know, what comes out of your disappointment is, you know, for some people, a positive thing, but we did get it a couple of years later. But Gary, yeah, American Werewolf in London to Silent Hill. Did you see, I assume you saw American Werewolf in London at 25 then?
Yes. Yeah. But I only got to go through it once because I only had two nights there. So, and I didn't have Express. So I had to like split them up. So I can't really remember too much from it. I do remember that night was just raining so bad. So I was miserable all night. So, I would take American Werewolf over Silent Hill every day. Not a Silent Hill fan. You know, I love 80s horror movies. So I would take that all day long. So that would have been a sad one.
Yeah, yeah, and it's funny talking about it in hindsight because we've had it twice since, and it's like, what how would you feel if American Werewolf came and didn't come? But we've had it twice since. But yeah, Liz, come on, you went back to 2013. Little tear rolling down your eye when it's replaced.
No, I think it was, it all worked out for the best. I think if we hadn't received American Werewolf in London, it would have been a great disappointment. But because we did get to see it, and it was such a great house the next year, I think I'm fine with Silent Hill being there. I will say, I think it's pretty impressive. I don't know how far in the process it was replaced, because the Silent Hill house, you would have never known it was a replacement. So I think this one probably happened early enough in the planning process that even though it had the same layout, I mean, the sets were clearly very well designed for Silent Hill. And although I don't really have an emotional attachment to the property, I thought it was a pretty well done house. And I'm sorry, Pyramid Head was really cool. So I'm sorry you didn't get to see it. But
I'm sad.
Yeah.
Sad
I think it all worked out for the best, because 2012 was a pretty strange year. And I think American Werewolf fit better with the 2013 event.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you make a good point of, even though it was a late replacement, you couldn't really tell. Like, we're going to get to the one next where that. So we are gonna get to that one. But again, love a good segue. Take it away.
Yeah. So on the other side of things, with a house that was very obvious that had been replaced in 2015, Scream was purged. So it was the 25th anniversary of Halloween Horror Nights, and rumor had it that Scream was finally going to get its own house. So we'd seen unofficial appearances in previous houses, including the director's movie-based house, and we'd had appearances, but nothing official. Scream had never had its own house, and the community was so excited to finally hear it was coming. But rumor has it that Dimension wanted the house to be based on the new TV show that was premiering on MTV, whereas the AGHN team wanted it to be based on the movies, much like the fans. I think the fans all wanted the original movie and not the TV show. That the mask was different. I don't know if you guys remember this show that came out, but it was a departure from the movies quite a bit. So who knows what happened behind the scenes to have the deal fall through, but it fell through late enough that the house was pretty much built, if not fully built. And instead of ripping out what they'd already built, the HHN team just kind of turned it into the Purge and threw together some extra scenes, threw some spray paint to make it seem like the Purge, but you could still tell it was Scream. They had the kitchen scene with the Jiffy Pop on the stove. There was the garage kill. There was Sydney's bedroom. And if you were a Scream fan, there was no doubt what you were walking through. So yeah, Ash, what was this reaction for you? I assume you're a Scream fan as well.
Huge, huge Scream fan. Yeah, I like it as a horror movie, but as a movie as well. I love whodunit horrors. Do you know what though? I have two thoughts. Firstly, I'm so glad Universal didn't compromise and say, okay, we'll do the MTV series, that's fine. I'm so glad they said, you know what, let's just pull it. If Ghostface is gonna come, I want it as Scream, right? So I don't want the MTV series. I want it as Scream. I don't even want, hey, let's do all the anthology. Let's do Scream 1 to 4, right? For example, just give me Scream. That's what I want. So I'm glad this didn't happen. I'm glad Universal said, hey, you know what? We're not compromising. We're not settling. Let's pull it. And when I've talked about out of the bad or the negative comes good, wasn't really good, was it? The Purge, Gary will probably touch on it, that The Purge is absolutely textbook for a zone, but not a house. So that they're my thoughts.
Yeah, I think aside from the one scene where they had the victim that joined your party, it just did not. It felt like a last minute replacement. It did not feel like something that the Horror Nights team had put their heart, soul, and love into. It felt like a last minute replacement. And I think we all understood. We all had, you know, feelings about it, but we all understood the situation they were put in and just were like, well, that's, you know, that's what we get when it's a last minute replacement. So Gary, it was your first year. Did you know anything about this? Did you know that Scream had been replaced?
I didn't know anything. So I'd been going to Florida since 2013 and I'd always wanted to go to Horror Nights, and it took me 2 years to convince Becca to even go. You know what she's like with houses and stuff. And we finally got to go, and I didn't even know until I got there that it was an anniversary year. It just so happened that some of Becca's friends were in town at the same time, so we went with them. And I didn't know it was like an anniversary year. I just remember as soon as I walked through the gates, just my mind was blown, and I was just an instant fan. And just, you know, even that, you know, you guys saying like The Purge wasn't as good, but to me being the first time, now it's sort of slipped, you know, down the rankings and stuff. But to someone from England where this sort of stuff doesn't happen, and to watch the Purge movies on TV and then get to walk through the Purge, just, it was just mind blowing. So I did enjoy the house that year, but like Ash did mention, I do think the Purge works much better as a scare zone, because I do think the scare zones that we've had for the Purge were phenomenal. But I didn't know about Scream. I know I do get hate for this, but I'm not a huge Scream fan. It's a good movie. Don't get me wrong, it's a good movie. But it's just not up there with the horror movies that I love. I'm more of an 80s guy, and Scream is just has too much of that 90s vibe for me. And that's all I'm going to say on that subject.
I love the 90s. Scream for me was my gateway into horror as a youth. This was the first horror movie that I remember watching. And because it has the history of horror in it, it made me start watching those 80s horror films. So for me, it's always going to have a special place. So before I ask Jason a question, Ash, do you want to talk about the commercial that leaked?
Oh my gosh. Can we put this commercial in, right? We can edit after the fact. Okay, perfect. So the commercial that was recorded, ready to go, and it is amazing. It is, we see Chance in it. Jack's in it on sort of like a raised platform. Freddy and Jason are behind bars. The Walking Dead are behind sort of bars. Ghostface is there too. And then Jack says, looks like I win again. It is such a good commercial. You can see it on YouTube. We're going to play it in just a second. Audio and over the video as well. But yeah, check it out if you can. HHN25 Ghostface commercial. If you want to look at it on your own as well. But yeah, we even got a commercial for Ghostface. So he was right there. So that's why I'm saying I'm glad Universal didn't settle and compromise.
Yeah.
absolutely. So now, Jason, do you think we will ever see Scream at Halloween Horror Nights?
Well, I've got something to tell you all. I don't know if you're aware of this. I have experienced a Scream thing at Halloween Horror Nights. It was just on the West Coast in 2011. We had Ghostface, part of the Terror Tram. And I looked it up. It was back in 2011. And it was the Terror Tramp's Scream for Your Life. And when, Liz, you told me, you know, the reasons with Universal, and, you know, that makes perfect sense. I thought it was just because of Hollywood and how they were not happy the way it ended up being for us. But I would say I would really like to see Ghostface come to Horror Nights. I did go on an Unmasking the Horror tour for 25 and walking through the Jiffy Pop scene on there, and I'm asking the guide, this is before I really knew anything, and I was like, isn't this supposed to be Scream? And just watching them, he knew what I was asking, but he couldn't say this was supposed to be, no, this has always been Purge. This was the plan from the beginning, and we're both looking at a Jiffy Pop on a stove, and we kind of just moved on to the next scene. But I'm a big fan of the movie, John Carpenter doing anything, or excuse me, Wes Craven, for doing the movie. And I think we're due to have Ghostface show up here soon.
I really hope they can make it happen someday. I think all the horror fans just, we want a Scream House someday. Someday. But someday. That was not the only time we've had a house get replaced. But the next time it was replaced by an original, Ash.
Yes. So 2017, we received an original Hive, but this house, this wasn't the house that was planned. It was supposed to be The Conjuring. Yep, it was supposed to be The Conjuring, which is one of my favorite contemporary horrors. Really, really scary, the first one and the second one. Third one had a bit of a change of pace. Was it Devil Made Me Do It, right, the third one? That's the title? Yeah, it was. But yeah, one and two I thought were really scary. But yeah, so it was supposed to be the first Conjuring, but obviously got replaced to Hive, licensing issues again. But this one hurts a little bit for me. I really, really would love to see The Conjuring come. I think who had it last year? A park had it last year. I forget which park had it.
Warner Brothers?
The Conjuring Maze?
Six Flags, Magic Mountain.
Six Flags?
Yeah, over in California. And
okay, so the licensing could be on the table again.
And that, it was at Horror Made Here up in Warner Brothers a couple years back.
Perfect. Okay, good. So yeah, so Warner Brothers, a little bit tricky, obviously, given their licensing-ish. But Gary, yeah, The Conjuring, do you like the movie? Would you like to see it come? And did you like The Hive?
I didn't like Hive. Conjuring, I would absolutely love. The second Conjuring movie, the one set in England, is one of the scariest horror movies I've ever saw, just the how intense it is, and based on like the real, it's based on 30 East Drive, isn't it? That's the house it's based on. Yep. So, I mean, you can actually go do like investigations in that house. You can rent the house out for the weekend or single nights and stuff. So, I would absolutely love for this to come. Maybe it's just one and two, three I wasn't so keen on. But I do love the whole Conjuring universe and how it all ties together and stuff.
Yeah, and they could do the whole universe as well, which makes sense. Jason, you like Hive? Same question, Hive, like The Conjuring?
I'm in the same boat with Gary on that. Hive, not so much, but bring on The Conjuring. I mean, first movie, I don't say this often, but the jump scares in that movie gave me goosebumps, and it kind of brought me back to when I was a little kid again, going to see a scary movie, and it needs to come to Horror Nights. No problem whatsoever having that first house or first movie and then going into a second movie as a different house, a different year would be fantastic. It'd be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I love these movies. They do scare me. First one and second one, for sure. Liz, give some love to the Hive Vampires, please.
Yeah, I, for one, was happy to have an original because I am team originals all the way. So when I found out that The Conjuring was being replaced and we were getting an original in its spot, I was quite happy. Now, walking through it, I do think you could still feel that it was supposed to be The Conjuring. The sets just gave you that feel. It was still part of that movie universe. Is Hive my favorite original ever? No, but I was happy to have it in its spot. Like I know I am a purist. I'm an originals person. I will always enjoy going through the unknown and learning a new story through Halloween Horror Nights. So yeah, I enjoyed The Hive. And it was good to see it back in Welcome to Scary a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I did like the Nosferatu type vampires. You could see remnants of The Conjuring. It didn't feel like a last minute thing either, to be, you know, to be fully transparent. I think you said something, Liz, pretty good for the Purge house. It felt like a last minute replacement, right? And I feel that kind of phrase is a big one, because there's probably another one going to come up later on that we're going to talk about that did feel last minute too. But yeah, so on to the next one. Liz is going to take us through it. Yeah, an original that was replaced by one of Tim's favorite mazes of all time.
Yes, yeah, so apparently in 2019, we were supposed to see The Tooth Fairy, an original that we saw just a couple years later. Well, 2 years in a row later. But it was replaced at the last minute by Us. So actually, we don't know when in the process, because obviously those sets are not the same thing, right? And I don't believe we heard anything about sets being torn down. So I think this happened before construction. But we did see the replacement of an original with Us. Now, this movie came out and everyone was talking about it, right? It was a huge IP at the time. So it wasn't a shock, I don't think, to have them replace an original with the IP. And because we got the original the next 2 years with everything that happened, I think that lessened the blow of it. But let's start with Gary. Tooth Fairy replaced by Us. How do you feel about it?
So I didn't get to see the Tooth Fairy that you guys got to see because of the pandemic. But I loved the Us house. I love the movies. So good. And I think the set design was nailed. And to be honest, they nailed the cast as well, because the cast in that house was phenomenal. A and B. The likeness to the characters was perfect. Can't remember the character's name off the top of my head, but the one where she's walking just around the room with the scissors. That was just a shot for shot from the movie, and it was just so good. And boy, that last room, with the dummies that they changed up quite often as well. So you would walk through thinking, well, I know he's fake on the right-hand side, but that night he wasn't, because they moved him around. So I really enjoyed that house. So I'm glad that one did happen, because I did love Us.
Yeah, we've talked about last minute replacements, but this one, obviously, if it was a last minute replacement, Ash, like how impressive what they were able to put together so quickly.
Yeah, super impressive. I know this one, this was definitely, like you said, I don't know how late, it was definitely a replacement. I can remember Expedition Sam as well posting about when Tooth Fairy came again, you know, when we're definitely getting it, that we should have had it the year before, but us. But think what could have been, right? If we didn't get Tooth Fairy, sorry, let me rephrase that. If Tooth Fairy would have come that year, and then you missed the boat, right? For us, the popularity of it, you know, they could have missed the boat and then just not had it. I feel with like the Fear Street trilogy, I feel like that was perfect, but we had the pandemic and then it, you know, did we miss the boat? Is it not popular anymore? Do you know what I mean? So I'm glad this one happened, because obviously hindsight's a big thing. We've had Tooth Fairy again. So I just want to echo everything Gary said. I love the movie. I love Michael Abel's score for the movie. And what else are you expecting, right? It's the set design's fantastic. You're pulling pieces from the movie. You're putting it into a maze. I'm a bit confused as to people who don't like this. Why? Because it's, you know, it's you're pulling the IP from the movie. The score's great. The scares were good. Casting, like Gary said, phenomenal. And that last room, the statue scares, you can always, once you get further into the vent, you can always pick it out. But nope, they kept you on your toes. They kept switching that out as well. So, yeah. But to answer your first question, Liz, this was a loaded answer from me. I apologize. To answer your original question, yeah, you could, if it was a late replacement, you could never tell. They did a great, great job with the sets.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the score, because the score from that movie, amazing. Just, so good.
The remix of I've Got Five on it with the score mixed in is just perfection.
So good. And it just brings back those Horror Night memories now when you hear it. It's just like, oh, yep, I miss those days.
Definitely, yeah.
Jason, us, what's your thoughts?
Well, you all are going to just beat me up right now, so I'll just take it. I only was able to go to one event this year, and it was the Horror Nights in Hollywood because I was working overseas at the time, so I didn't have time. So, but from your descriptions of it, it sounds like Us is the winner. You guys didn't see any difference, and I did experience Us on the West Coast, and it was a fantastic house to see. So, wish I could have experienced it in 2019 and see and compare the coasts, but I was only able to experience Hollywood that year.
Well, at least you got to see the. Sorry. At least you got to see the Hollywood version. So that's you got. It's different, obviously, but you got some of the vibe.
As I like to say, same, same, but different.
Yeah. Well, 2020, the following year, definitely brought its own challenges. So, Ash.
Yeah, 2020, crazy year. So this was, we've seen this, we've seen pictures, but Billie Eilish, okay, a music house. So if there was no pandemic in 2020, we would have seen a house featuring the music of Billie Eilish. This was going to be in the Shrek Theater. Right. Concept art and construction progress was leaked. I know the bed with the kind of writing on it was a big one. The rest of the houses planned for 2020's version did return for the next year, but Billie Eilish's house was scrapped. Rumor has it that Billie was in the process of changing her image and the haunted house vibe no longer matched the direction that they were going in. Similar to if Us wouldn't have happened, would they have missed the boat for that? Would they miss the boat with Billie Eilish, given how popular and how, I guess, successful the Weeknd's house was? Billie Eilish, I'll go reverse order. Jason, are you sad that this didn't come to fruition?
From, seeing the information that was leaked or released, per se, I didn't really listen to Billie Eilish too much, but it got me excited to experience the house. Never say never. I know the image has changed a little bit. Maybe something could happen in the future. A little disappointed that we didn't have it. Almost felt like we were kind of going back to the music era again. It'd been a little bit of a break, at least on the Orlando side, of having music houses again. So definitely a little disappointed for that.
Yeah, what bugs me so much is that it wasn't replaced by anything, it was just demolished, right? And it was there, and I'm like, just let me walk through it. I don't need to go on it at night with scare actors. Just let me walk through it just to see it, please, because it's going to kill me if I can't. But I'm not a big Billie Eilish fan as well. I mean, I could tell you maybe one or two songs, to be honest, but like we always do, I probably would have listened to the album prior to the event, right, to get myself a bit more familiar. But Gary, Billie Eilish.
So at the time, I was not dead against this house, but I had the thoughts that most people did, where like, what's this got to do with Horror Nights? So at the time, I was like, nah, this house won't vibe with me. And then I went through the Weeknd house, and I had the same reservations with that. Came through the house, and it ended up in my top three. So now, looking back, I'm kind of sad we didn't get to experience this, because if it was as good as the Weeknd house, it would have been another winner. So any more music houses in the future, I'm here for it, because based off the Weeknd's house, it was fantastic. So yeah, sad. I mean, not that I would have got to go through it anyway because of the pandemic, but still, I could have watched it on YouTube. But yeah, I know what you mean, Ash. It's if it's there, you just want to go through it, don't you?
Absolutely. And I'm gonna ask you a question, Gary, that might hurt you a little bit, but I'm just curious. I don't think I've ever talked to you about this. So Halloween Horror Nights 30, if it's me, I'm trying to avoid everything and just not, because the fact that you did not do it, have you seen walkthroughs from any or if all, from all of them from that year?
All of them, yeah.
All of them. Okay, I'm just curious whether you just kind of rip the Band-Aid off and do it.
Yeah, it was too hard at the time. I think I had a lot built up because we were due to get married. We'd had it had already been cancelled. We had obviously Horror Nights and everything booked, and everything was just cancelled. And the event obviously was still going on for you guys. And it was just really, really hard. So I think for a good month or something, I just logged out of social media and just stepped away. And I don't think it was until after 2022. I think that was 2022, my first year back at Horror Nights. I think it was, yeah. I didn't watch any HHN 30 walkthroughs until I'd got back from 22.
Wow.
But I watched them just for educational purposes, just so I could, you know, talk about it and know what happened and stuff like that. So that's the only year I've missed in the last almost 10 years of going. So it was hard. Yeah. But
no, absolutely. Yeah. It's not your, obviously not your fault you missed it, but I was always wondered because that would hurt me, you know, not being able to do it. And then watching the walkthroughs, knowing that you should have been doing it. But, Liz, Billie Eilish, talk to me.
Yeah, so this one caused quite the stir in the community. It was very polarizing. People were either optimistic for it or they absolutely hated the idea. I am a Billie Eilish, I would say a casual fan. Like, I like a lot of her songs. And especially at that era, she had, you know, Bad Guy that was on the radio and kind of had a spooky vibe to it. And I can't remember the other song that was big at the time that was also kind of in that darker vibe. But I remember seeing the picture of like a giant gargoyle that was already constructed in the house that leaked on Twitter. And that kind of changed my mind on it. I was like, oh, okay, I can see where this is going. I think this is going to be very scenic and creepy. And in a way, it's another original, right? And I'm always team originals. So I was really excited to get to see what they were going to create. And I believe that she's a brilliant mind, and I think she would have brought in a really great creative aspect to the event. And I do think they were trying to reach a new audience with, you know, they were brought in Stranger Things. They were definitely aiming for a younger audience who loves Billie Eilish. And I think we would have been pleasantly surprised.
I think so. Now in hindsight, you know, we've been through the weekend that I've kind of digged a little deeper in, oh, actually these music mazes work. You know, and I always hold my hands up. Like the Weeknd's year, I think he was like middle to lower of the pack for me. And I said, I just can't vision it. I just can't picture it. But obviously it finished in mine, Gary's top three, for example. And I hold my hands up. Yeah, you know, I got it wrong in my hype list, but I can admit that I was wrong and I can enjoy it and it was great. So yeah, hindsight's a big thing. And I'm so sad I didn't get to see this one.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, the drama doesn't end there. In 2022, I think we had the craziest replacement and the craziest rumor cycle that summer ever, because we heard through the rumor mill that we were going to have Evil Dead Rise, and it seemed like a lock. The movie was coming out, the sets were being built, and then all of a sudden, the rumor mill went wild. And there was this crazy rumor going around that Evil Dead Rise was not going to happen for Orlando or Hollywood. And Orlando had decided to tear down the sets and start over. And it was late in the season. I can't remember exactly what month, but it was June or July. It was very, very late when the houses are pretty much built, ready to go. And so I think a lot of us were skeptical until it just, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, and there was fire, there was flames. it was wild. So instead of Evil Dead Rise for Orlando, we ended up with Hellblock Horror, which, as Ash alluded to earlier, you could definitely tell was a last minute replacement. Whereas over in Hollywood, they decided to keep their sets, but they changed the theme. Jason, did you go that year?
I did. They turned it into a hotel theme.
Yeah, so it's like it was obvious. If you've watched the preview for Evil Dead Rise, you could tell that this hotel was actually sets from Evil Dead Rise, but they changed the plot of it to make it work. Whereas Orlando decided, you know what, we're starting from scratch. And they just tore it down and threw together Hellblock Horror using costumes from previous years and kind of throwing together this story. I think there's definitely mixed reviews on whether or not it was successful. So we'll start with Gary. What was your reaction to Hellblock Horror? You're back at Horror Nights. I'm sure you're excited. And you walk into Hellblock Horror. What did you think?
I'm one of the very few that actually enjoyed this house. I don't know if it's just because I had the hiatus during the pandemic, but I actually thought this was a generally good house. I do remember on the Unmasking the Horror tour, but you know when they go do the blood day, when they go and throw all the blood all over the houses and stuff, we did get told that the house was that minute, like last late minute being built, that when the tour guides were doing their training, going through the houses, the paint on the floor was still wet. And if you looked on the floor, all of the blood had footprints in it because it was that late. So it was like they were painting the house the day the tour guides were doing the training, ready for a couple of days' time to do the first tour.
That's amazing.
Which I just thought, that's just cutting it so close to the wire. It's just so crazy. But I enjoyed that house, and going through it during the day with the lights on, you could definitely see Evil Dead Rises. But I think they did a good job of saving it, so to speak.
Yeah, I think they did a good job of creating a new concept that they could pull costumes that they already had and throw it together in a house. I think just as a fan, we all know the level of house construction that's normally there, and the sets were not quite up to Universal's normal standards. You could tell this was a how quickly can we throw together a house? So Ash, are you a Hellblock Horror fan, or were you on the disappointed side?
I was on the disappointed side. I'm definitely not a Hellblock Horror fan. I think Gary's hiatus, he could have got a house with black walls in it and it would have been in his top three, I think.
Well, it kind of did with the end of Hellblock Horror.
So here's my thing with Hellblock, right? There was two mazes from that year that were 9 and 10. Right, the rest rank however, but there was two that year that were 9 and 10 for pretty much everybody I know in my kind of circle of friends. Right now, this was only 9 for the fact that it was last minute. Did it work? I don't think so. Kudos to them for not adjusting things and just saying, you know what, let's just do something original. Let's just gut it and we'll do something original. All the scares, the maze was just linear. And the scares were left, right, left, right, left, right. So, I mean, there wasn't anything too unique about it, which makes sense, right? It's such last minute. Not really too much, to be honest. I think, again, when I said missing the boat for us, I think we've now missed the boat for Evil Dead Rise, you know? So I'm a little bit sad that I never got to come to this event, but c'est la vie. But I didn't like it.
Yeah, we did see Hollywood did get Evil Dead Rise in 2023 for whatever reason. Orlando passed on it, or it just didn't work as far as the deal. So we will not. I don't think we'll see Evil Dead Rise at the event. But Jason, Hellblock Horror or Evil Dead Rise, which would you have rather have seen?
I was really excited when they dropped the trailer for Evil Dead Rise. It being coming to Orlando would have been huge, and then having my heart ripped out of me when it kind of said, yeah, it's not happening. We're getting something, you know, slapped together last minute. But when I did walk through the house the first time and I went, is that Old Smokey right there going? So that kind of brought some joy to me to see. And it had a lot of little Easter eggs for us diehard fans to go through. And now if you walk through the house and it's missing actors, I could definitely see it moving lower on the list. But when you walk through that house and you had every single spot open, it tended to be a lot of fun for me. So it kind of was middle of the pack. But if it started with Evil Dead Rise and we got it, I would have been super happy to see it.
Yeah, I think especially the Hive hallway, the black hallway with the black lights, if you caught that at the right time, it was actually very scary. And yeah. Of course, personally, I was very excited to see one of my aliens who I clapped for every time, even though they had no idea why. But that alien got a lot of support from me. So, yeah, I think they salvaged a poor situation. But
they're experts at it. They can do it. Yeah,
they know how to pivot, clearly. But that wraps up the history portion. Ash, what do we have happening in the rumors right now?
Okay, so yeah, one big one on people's lips is one I'm going to touch on. Now, here's the thing with rumors, right? And here's the thing with the RIP tour with rumors. We know people, we know things, right? Everybody does. If we hear something that's a rumor, or if we hear something that's concrete, we don't post it. right? We'll kind of jump on it late if it gets officially announced, but this is Nightmare on Elm Street. It's on everybody's lips right now, right? Now, I want to know, because it's been on, it's not really been on a speculation map, but pictures of it, right, have alluded to possibly being that, right? And then Universal dropping the, what did they drop, like the three dots? Which was like people saying, oh, this is Nightmare on Elm Street. So was this, I'm going to say this was never on the table. This has never been a thing. It's never been on the table. I'm going to start, Gary, do you think, is it because it's an anniversary year? People are thinking, oh, this is coming because it's anniversary year. Do you think that's ever been on the table? Was it ever discussed? I mean, where are your thoughts at with this?
I think the thing with the Horror Nights community is every year before we get something, we try and connect the dots from the previous year. If something lines up that it's going to be at the previous year, we tend to run with that. If there's nothing connecting the dots from the previous year to this year, we then try to look for common things, anniversaries, things where they've happened in a house and there's a future date mentioned, which that date happens to be this year. Stuff like that. So I think with it being the 40th anniversary, and it's also the anniversary of other movies as well, which are rumoured, I think people have just got on the horse and rode into the sunset with it, basically. But I don't think this one's coming, to be fair.
Yeah, I agree. Jason?
I would say Gary hit the nail on the head on that one. We've seen from years past, recently we've had a slasher per se. You know, we had Michael come back, we've had Leatherface come back. Last year, you know, we had Chucky in there as well, and everyone's kind of jumping on that train. Well, we're gonna need an 80s slasher coming to the event this year and seeing the dot dot dot. And, you know, we haven't seen Freddy in a long time, and that kind of made sense, and having the anniversary around the corner, which just seems perfect. But I don't believe anything. I don't really believe the rumors until we see that official tweet from Halloween Horror Nights official Twitter page announcing it with a commercial or an official announcement. So that's where I'm at with it.
I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, because we've had those sort of what I would say titans of horror slashers, right? Recently, mm-hmm. You know, Michael, Chucky, Leatherface. So they are making a bit of a comeback as more of a sort of like a slasher icon for that year. So, you know, I get it. People saying, well, Freddy and Jason have to be next, right? Naturally. So, and hey, and it makes sense. It's the anniversary of Nightmare on Elm Street. So it just makes sense for this year. But glad you mentioned that. But yeah, Liz, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, I think this is just wishful thinking that turned into a rumor. So I think all of us, at least here on this podcast, want it. And with the anniversary year, it just seemed to click. It makes sense. When it's hitting the rumor mill, you're hopeful, you're wishing for it. And so I think this one probably just came from the community really wanting it to be true. And I think because it's been so long since we've seen Freddy, it's just logical to assume that he and Jason will be appearing again sometime in the future. And with the 40th anniversary, I think we all just wanted it to be true more than it was actually true.
I agree. I'm on the same page as you guys. Wishful thinking, right? I'd love Freddy to come, you know, and just do the first one again. But that's it, guys, in terms of houses that never were. Or let me rephrase that. The houses that never were, that I think are the popular ones that we've covered. There are going to be some kind of, but anybody here got anything they want to cover in terms of things we may have missed? I think we've covered the big ones.
You could be out all day, listen every single
rumor, really,
couldn't you?
That's it. These for the listeners, these are more the concrete ones. Obviously, we have speculation maps. It was shows, like, for example, right, Demon Slayer was on there, and it wasn't on another spec map. We're not covering those because they were on a spec map. They were never going to happen, never did happen. These are more the ones that were more concrete, that were ready to go, and then fell away. So that's the ones we wanted to cover, really, but that's pretty much it. I'm trying to think of anything going on in the Horror Nights world. It's pretty quiet right now in terms of speculation and even construction pictures. I know there was a picture of the two sprung tents, right? The new ones right at the back. That's going to be a nice walk, Liz.
Yeah, hope everyone's getting their steps in, working on their fit for the fog like I am, because looks like we're going to need it this year. Not quite sure how that's going to work out, having four tents in the very back of the park and how we're going to enter and exit those. But yeah, I'd urge everyone to start working on their steps.
Breaking your shoes now.
Yeah.
That's true. Section of the park by Men in Black is going to be awful.
Oh, absolutely.
It's bad enough now, but with four tents at the back, it is going to be, oh, don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, but fortunately this year, we get two houses right by Voodoo Donuts, so that's going to be an easy one. If you don't know what I'm talking about, check our tweet from yesterday. So that's pretty much it. Hopefully, fingers crossed, an announcement soon. Hopefully we'll be back recording, you know, an impromptu one during the week, rushing around trying to get an episode out because of a big major announcement coming. But we'll see, hopefully. But we're well and truly now. How many, what have we got? 4 months? 4 months ago, right?
Yeah, April? Just over 4 months.
Just shy. Yeah, just shy.
Which is crazy.
Just over 4 months. Crazy, right? And that's going to fly by. So cool. Anything else before we leave? Anyone want to talk about anything in general? No. I'll take the silence as moving on. So, Gary, I feel like you've not done it for a while. Where can people find us?
People can find us at RIP to our podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Threads, but we never use it. We have a Discord. We have merchandise. So we have, we've just dropped this year's logo. If you're a new listener, I'll quickly explain. Every year we get a new logo for the season, just to jazz things up a little bit. And we've just dropped two variants of an awesome design. So we have a sort of, would you say, post-apocalyptic Vegas neon sign type thing. And we have a lights on version and a lights off version, which is very, very cool. So you can go grab those on our spreadsheet and rep the podcast. And all the proceeds go back into producing this sort of show, because we do spend quite a lot of money. So any money that we do get goes straight back into the show. You may have noticed a jump in quality as of late, especially with the YouTube side and the audio side. And that is down to a new program that we've invested in. And I think it's safe to say that this is the way forward for the show now. It's helping us a ton. It's helping Liz edit the YouTube videos. It's because the YouTube does take quite a lot of time to edit. It's helping Liz speed things up a lot. The better audio for me, it makes it easier for me to do the audio version and master the audio and stuff like that. So if you can help, buy a shirt, rep it in the park, come say hello to us, and we'll give you a button as well, because we will be having buttons this year. So that's all I can think of.
Love it. Very well handled. No, that's pretty much it. Yeah, I think on our X as well, Twitter, at the top, Linktree's there too. That'll take you to the Spreadshirt store, Instagram, YouTube, whatever it may be as well. But nah, that was like riding a bike, Gary. I feel like you've done that before. So nice job.
It's been a while.
Yeah, great job. But
you're hired.
That's it, guys. Yeah. Don't forget your hosting next, Jason. But no, we're good. Hopefully see you guys soon. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you watching on YouTube. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe. Leave us a comment, like, you know, usual, what everybody asks you to do, do that for us. That'd be great. But from all of us here, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.